South Africa's new e-visa system is expected to be launched in October this year. The system, according to the Department of Home Affairs, will better enable investment in the country and make it more efficient to admit people with sought-after skills. In our small business segment for this week, we thought we'd discuss the tourism sector, a node for small business to thrive, and to see what the introduction of e-visas will do for an important sector of the economy. Speaking to us this evening is the recently appointed Minister of Tourism, Mamoloko Kubai Ngubane. Evening, Minister, and congratulations on your new portfolio.
Evening, Ronan. Thank you very much. Looking forward to the conversation.
All right. So South Africa's e-visa regime has been in the headlines for the wrong reasons for a number of years now because of its effects on tourism. What does the introduction of e-visa do for a very important sector of the South African economy?
We believe from the tourism side that it will really uplift and assist us to unlock markets which are potential for us. Which have been not really easy for us because of access. And I'll make an example. If somebody is in China, in one of the deep provinces, for them to access the application for a visa, they need to go to one of the provinces where we have our facilities of Home Affairs to be able to apply. So you go there to make an appointment, and then when you arrive there, then you make appointment, you apply physically, and all that process that is manual. And one of the things people have complained, even taking away your, the passport physically over days, and that's what people who are in business, is just a serious, serious inconvenience. When you look, for example, if you are going to countries such as US, you do everything online, you apply, then you get an appointment for you to go and do the interview. You do your interview, then you within a day, you are there, you got everything. Once you're approved, you get your visa. For a country like Nigeria, where we're still doing manual there, where people have to go to a center, this is the story. I've not been to Nigeria recently, but I intend to go there as part of unlocking the potential, especially on the business and tourism side. We get reports that people have to go to a center. You go there and they only allow 160 per day. You apply. If you are number 161, they turn you back. And then you have to come back. And that's only for appointment. Now, once you get your appointment, then you come back and you do another interview. Then they process, they take your passport, it goes. So it can take 2 to 3 weeks. Now, the introduction of e-visa will do it very easily. People can apply anywhere they are. And we believe that because even the technology allows that, people who are doing multiple visits, then it can help us. So it will definitely unlock quite a huge potential of markets in big countries, in big economies for us.
Yeah, we're just looking at how much outbound Chinese tourism there is, and it's quite significant, and it's quite sad that South Africa, as part of BRICS, we're not as big a beneficiary of that outbound tourism from places like China.
Yep. Definitely. If you look at the number of tourists that are traveling, I mean, we're not even on 1% of what the Chinese tourists are. And part of the conversation I've had already with some of the people who are in South Africa who are Chinese, which I've approached, that's what they share with me. What are your issues? What is it? And they said, look, for the countries where we go and we visit as Chinese, it's because it's easy to access the visa. They even told me, like, they've got countries like Japan, where majority of the Chinese travelers go to, it's because they've used Alipay as a platform for where you have a particular number of points, then you get you qualify automatically for a visa because it determines the level of income and it says you have so much money to spend. Because Alipay is a platform that they are able to utilize, and it's utilized majority by middle and higher income Chinese communities. So once you have, it's almost like your platinum card in a bank system. So they're saying such things has made it easy for them to be able to travel and access certain markets. So we would not be able to utilize something like Alipay, but at least the electronic system will be able to assist us to have some level of chunk that we can be able to take out of those potential tourist market.
Like, how much damage did the whole visa issue around the due to the reputation of South Africa as a favorable tourist destination, and can it really be undone? What will the department be doing to almost change the narrative around the difficulty of getting into South Africa as well?
Look, the narrative changing for us, it's through the roadshows. You'll note that this week, South African Tourism Agency, our entity in the portfolio, together with various officials in the department, are doing what we call roadshows in the Asian market. Mm. So part of that, it helps us to be able to convey our message, to be able to clarify some of the misunderstanding, because some of the things you find that it's not truth. Mm. It's a misunderstanding. When I got to the portfolio, for example, somebody said to me, no, the issue of the unabridged certificate is not resolved. And only to find it's one person. Mm. And misunderstanding of how they read. When we went and looked, we found that indeed, as cabinet instructed, the regulations were changed last year. They were published. All travel, major traveling agents and everybody that needed to know, they were published on the website and they had access to it. So it's a matter of us emphasizing on the communication to make sure that everybody that matters, and especially the critical people such as tour operators, understand where we stand, because they become our voice when we are not there.
I mean, is the Department of Tourism and Home Affairs now under Minister Aaron Motsoaledi having better coordination at the moment with regards to, I mean, Home Affairs and tourism need to almost be aligned with regards to policy?
No, definitely we are in conversation with Minister Motsoaledi. Mm. You're not even in the House today. During the debate of the State of the Nation address, the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs spoke extensively about tourism issues. Mm. Potential and how we can be able to unlock that economic activity. So from where we are sitting, we are working very closely. We are collaborating. We are talking. We are looking even beyond just the visa issues, where they can be able to assist us in just enhancing the experience. So other things are long term. We'll continue to converse, take feedback from our tourists, take feedback from our stakeholders that we interact with in terms of the ports of entry, where they are finding difficulties that might not even be visas, but things that need other Home Affairs to attend to. What I'm grateful is that the conversation and the collaboration, because President has made it honestly not an option for all of us. Mm. This administration is about us working together rather than working in silos.
I mean, Stats says latest tourism data shows some 3.6 million tourists coming into the country last April. What are your thoughts on that number?
We've looked at the statistics. If you compare, because when the March statistics came out, there was a feeling that we've dropped.
Yeah.
And people forgot to look that it's because this year, when you compare to last year and this year, last year in March, we had Easter holidays during that time. So that's why our numbers were higher. And then instead of March this year having Easter holidays, we had it in April. That's why the statistics are a bit higher. So those are some of the issues that impact on the tourist movement. So you've got to look at those things that assist us to be able to determine and analyze properly the statistics. One of the things that I think, when I looked at the statistics, especially comparing March and April, is to say that we are seeing a bit of growth in the March, but we can still do better. Mm. And one of the things is to start looking at what we call targeted marketing. As we are saying, we want to unlock certain markets. We're thinking that times such as your school holidays, pushing domestic tourism will help us, but also starting to prepare now for December holidays. Mm. So working together with our sector to be able to say, how do we make sure that our packages are attractive? Because we should be having a lot of visitors. Major countries, it's winter.
Yeah.
South Africa in December is summer. And therefore, we should be able to attract more tourists because of the weather and all other things that we've got as tourist attractions.
Minister, I've got a couple of callers in. We have a few comments with regards to tourism. The first one is Philemon from Waterkloof. Philemon?
Dad, good evening, and how are you?
You know,
scenic beauty and wilderness of the country vis-a-vis the most, you know, if you take, for instance, some key tourism lessons from China. You know, the weather conditions is moderately warm. We can they can attract more people there. But now we need to look at the what is called specializations to boost this the sleeping giant in the economy called tourism. You know, the when you go to China, you come across the, when you tour the Forbidden City, the Great Wall in Beijing, of which most popular tourist attractions are in China. You'll expect to come across foreigners, but you know you come across the people who stay in China. Now we need to move away from the old ages that we need to think to act globally and think locally, but and change it to say, let's think locally, let's promote local economy, like the suit that the president was wearing, and act globally. We need to move to what is called the specialization for a competitive global market. You know, the most countries are successful because they have specialized tourism industries. Most popular categories of tourism are the wildlife tourism, the adventure tourism, cultural tourism, medical tourism, sports tourism, leisure tourism, business tourism, wellness tourism, tourism, and religious tourism. So much as we want to focus on tourism in general, we need to look at those things to say, how do we specialize? And tourism depends on electricity and less hazardous roads and electricity provisions.
Thank you.
So when you deal with Eskom, you must deal with Eskom.
Thank you for that insight. Minister, your response to Philemon's comment?
Definitely, Philemon has got quite a lot of issues that he's raising, and a quite good suggestion. And I agree with him in terms of his observation around China tourism. Indeed, when you go to Forbidden City, you go to the Great Wall, majority of the people who are visiting those areas will be Chinese. Now, they've got the numbers that we need. We do not have the scale in terms of the numbers in South Africa, but they've got the scale. So we've got to be able to attract them. While we do agree with him that domestic tourism is critical, for example, we did an analysis and looked at how many South Africans do tour. I've been communicating quite a number of tourist attractions, both on my social media, since I've been appointed. Just to say to people, are you aware of this? Do you know the Great Pineapple? Do you know the Great Baobab Tree? And you find quite a number of things, people saying, oh, wow, I've not known about this thing. So I will be able to visit. So it's that conversation that we've got to be able to look at. But part of the issue from the department, when there was a research done together with a strategy, it was found that major issue that has been raised by South Africans is around affordability. Now, how do we ensure that South Africans can be able to be exposed to different packages of traveling? So it's not about you when you travel, you visit PE, you stay in a hotel, or you visit Cape Town, you stay in a hotel. If you want to stay in a 5-star hotel, it's going to be costly. Mm. But if your budget, so to be able to advertise packages per household income would be one of the things that is critical for us going forward, so that everybody can know that this is what I can afford, this is what my household income is, and therefore out of this income, I can be able to tour and visit certain areas. So they are quite reasonable areas. We just think that quite a number of South Africans are not exposed, and we will be in the coming months, and also during our budget, we will unveil some of our strategies to be able to say, how do we push domestic tourism and help and expose some of the work that we think needs to be exposed, support our tour guides and our attractions to be able to talk directly to South Africans, not only to international markets.
I mean, whilst we look at boosting domestic tourism, I mean, South Africans always think that they always, when we talk about tourism, we talk about the importance of tourism numbers from travellers outside the continent. But looking at the stats, the continent, and in particular SADC, are hugely important with regards to our tourism numbers. How do you intend boosting those numbers from within SADC region?
Yes. Recently, South African Tourism has issued an advert where we are sourcing expertise to be able to help us to finally analyze, put the numbers and say to us, this is the market, for example, want them to go into Zimbabwe and analyze the Zimbabwean markets properly to say to us, this is what is that. We don't want to do thumbsucky work where we assume that everybody is coming, this is what they are coming for. So we want to check them as a market to say, what is it that when you come to South Africa, you are interested in? What worries you? What concerns you? What do you think we should be able to address? So those are some of the research that we are consolidating to be able to take informed decision. We want to be very aggressive in our approach because the target the president has set us for us is very huge. So you can't do it when you are passive. You can't do it when you are continuing to market the country in a normal way. So we have to be aggressive. We have to be proactive. We can't wait. So we'll go to Nigeria. We'll go to Ghana. For example, in terms of the Ghana, somebody asked me another time about Ghana visa. We've done our part in South Africa and we're waiting for the Ghanaian government to sign. We'll be able to go directly ourselves as South Africa to say, we have people from your country who are interested to come to us. Can we make sure that we facilitate? So proactive engagement with government to be able to make sure that movement is easy, but also not compromising the security. I know South Africans, most of the time, they'll say, you are opening the floodgates of crime to come into our country when we talk about countries such as Nigeria. And we are saying there are so many Nigerians who come into the country for goodwill, who are doing a lot of business, who are coming here for conferences. If you look at the African Investment Conference that was last year here, majority of the people who came from the continent, and I mean the number one business person in the continent, I think is the richest, Dangote. He comes from Nigeria. So those are the people that we are worried about. We want to make sure that we attract to them. They shouldn't come for one day when they come for conference. We want them to come for a day, but also for that conference and extend a week. Bring their children, come with their families and enjoy South Africa.
Minister, before I let you go, I have to ask about your views on Airbnb. Globally, there has been a pushback on that company and its effect on the local tourism sector. What's your view on Airbnb and these technological developments?
Look, the issue for us is to be able to say, how do we ensure that we secure quality of service in terms of when a tourist comes or experiences tourism, can be able to say, I've experienced good tourism, and therefore I'll be able to be an ambassador and great with. Because remember, we're talking about brand South Africa now. Now, part of the issue around their working, and you'd know that there's a bill that we have introduced, and people are saying we are regulating Airbnbs. It's not about regulating Airbnbs. Because you can't regulate technology. That becomes a difficulty. But what we are regulating is the environment and the hospitality packages that are being provided for our tourists, both domestically and internationally. Want to safeguard the brand South Africa, want to safeguard the integrity of our tourism, but want to make sure that broadly the experience is something that I can take responsibility as a Minister of Tourism, given the responsibility to ensure that the experience of tourism, you must be able to regulate, you must be able to say those who are participants, and including those who are doing business, do not feel undone because you've not done your work as a Minister in terms of regulation. So that is part of the conversation will continue, but this is where we have where we stand as a department.
All right. No, thank you very much for your time. There was the Minister of Tourism, Mamoloko Gubane. Thank you very much for joining us this evening to talk tourism.
Thank you very much, Don.